This ROFM podcast was brought to you with the support of New Zealand On Air.
And good morning to you. Welcome to Access Radio, RFM 92.7, here in the Wairarapa, your community station's favourite community station. I know that for sure. It is 6 degrees outside. It has just gone 9 o'clock on the 19th of August. Somebody wrote, like, how long it was to Christmas just on Facebook earlier, and I just want to tell them to shut up. It's only like a matter of weeks, like 16 weeks or something. That's insane! Oh, but I do love Christmas. I do love the vibe of Christmas, even though I'm not religious. Anyway, this morning I have a returning guest. I think this is like your third time, isn't it? Is it?
Like this
is amazing. I love this. Courtney Brown, welcome back. I'm so happy to have you here today.
And thank you for asking me back, Camille. I've been so excited about getting challenge number 145 done, be on a show. So.
Absolutely. Right. There's going to be people who do not know what you mean by that. And this is why one of the reasons why I wanted you on the show to talk about what you're doing, because I've seen you been going through things and leaps and bounds in the last year or so. And I thought, what is she up to? And also seeing you at the gym, and then I wasn't at the gym, and now you're at a different gym, but you're still like smashing it. But the thing is, you're doing something called My Healing to Whole Journey. And this is one of the challenges, 145. How many challenges are there?
So there's 150 challenges.
Yeah.
And the day that I created this, made this up, I had 350 days to complete them.
Wow. Wow. Okay. So 350 days. How many days are you up to?
What? Oh, yeah, that's what? Not. I'm not actually sure. I'll know tonight when I make my little update video.
So absolutely.
That. Yeah.
Oh, that'll be brilliant. So what I want to know is, what led you to make up this list? What led you to challenge yourself to do this? Because it's not a normal thing for people to just go, I'm going to start challenging myself, because, I mean, it's such a fantastic thing. But what was the journey behind this journey?
The journey behind this one and creating this was, I've been going through a separation and it's been difficult. You know, we were together for 15 years, kids together and stuff, and it was just time for me to step away from that relationship and kind of discover who I was outside of being a wife and, you know, being a mother and find myself again. I think as women, sometimes we over-identify with the roles that we're in. And I was a mother so young, and then I was a partner for so long, so young. And I came away from that like, I don't even know who I am outside of that relationship.
Yeah.
And then there was some time in between where I was kind of floating. Like, I'd heard about, oh, you need to take some time to heal. And I was like, well, what does that look like? Like, what do I actually do?
Yeah.
And then I remember going on ChatGPT, which is like my best buddy, and saying, give me a movie that I can watch as a woman who's going through separation. I want something empowering. You know, I don't want a love story. And it told me to watch the movie Julie and Julia. And in that movie, she gets a cookbook and she goes through and she makes every single recipe. And I can't cook. So I was like, that's not for me. But I came away from it and I was like, how do I turn this into something for me? Like, I need to heal actively, because I'm an active person. I was like, I need some steps, man.
Yeah.
So then I went back to my mate ChatGPT and I said, based off everything you know about me, because it knows my entire life, and that's actually my sister's job to delete my ChatGPT if anything happens to me.
Yeah.
But I said, you know, I can officially get separated in 350 days. You know, that was that night, because you have to wait 2 years before you can dissolve a marriage. So I was like, I've got 350 days. And I was like, chat, give me 150 challenges to discover who I am, to come up with some ideas for me to grow and heal. I need some things. And then ChatGPT spat out this list. And it's got some things in there with my kids and, yeah, just things I would have never thought of to do myself. And so I was like, sweet, we're doing it.
Yeah.
And then I made a video and I put it online for accountability.
Yeah.
To keep myself honest.
I remember that video, yeah.
I was so nervous because it's such a vulnerable thing to put yourself online.
It really is.
But I knew that if I did that, then I'd stick to the list. It wouldn't just end up on the fridge and then
in
the drawer.
So yes.
That's how it was born.
So when you looked at the list, were there have you gone for the easiest things first, or have you dived in head first into the hard things? And are there things you're just like, I'm not doing that?
Oh, honestly, I have been learning and growing with the list. Like, there's some things on here that I thought would be easy, and then I've done them and I've come away and I've actually been quite moved from them. Like, they were quite touching. You know, going out to lunch by yourself, or even writing a poem. I was like, sweet, I can write a poem. But I sat down and I've been quite intentional about them. You know, I could have crossed off see a sunrise, because I see a sunrise on the way home.
Yeah,
from the gym.
Yeah.
But I'm like, actually, I need to be intentional about this, and I need to do it with purpose and then reflect on it.
Mm.
So, yeah, some of the things that I thought were going to be easy have actually been really hard. And some of the memories, like go to an All Blacks game with my son Asher.
Yeah.
That was an incredible thing to do.
Yeah.
And if it weren't for the list, I don't know if I would have made time to do these things this year.
Yeah, and the thing that is really cool is how you can include your children in them as well. And Asher has definitely made an appearance on some of the videos. He's very not camera shy, is he? That's really cool. But also, some of the things that you've challenged yourself to do, you haven't been feeling 100% doing them, like the day that you did the Fortnite one, but you still went, right, I'm going to use this moment and set the intent to smash a challenge out. Like, I don't even know what you're talking about when you're talking about Fortnite, and I am curious. So what is it you did with the Fortnite one?
Oh, it was get a victory royale in Fortnite.
Yeah.
Out of 100 players, you have to come first. And it's like an RPG, like a role-player game. And so you have to go around eliminating other players, and they're all eliminating everyone else.
Yeah.
Like the Hunger Games, you know.
Yeah.
All for one, one for all.
Oh, yeah.
My kids are incredible at it.
Like, are they?
Alexis and Asher constantly getting the dub.
Which, yeah.
You know, the win.
Ah.
I'm bad. Like, when I first attempted this one, I got 100th, like 100th, like very last place. And
yeah.
Like, I've never seen that before. But I was scared that one was going to creep up on me, but I had a day at home where I was sick and they were at school.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
They always take over.
Yeah.
But it was really cool because the kids taught me, you know, like they were like, we can be included in this. Mum, you need to do this. You need to do that. So even that has created space for us to work together as a family and learn from them. So
yeah.
They're good at. Yeah.
Yeah. That's actually really cool. The thing is, I know that you challenge yourself every day anyway, and I know that this is one of your challenges as well, doing the show today, which is really cool. And I love that I'm able to be part of that, because I just love that. I really do. But I know that you challenge yourself every day in the fact that you really do work out at the gym. And so I remember seeing you when we first met, was at the gym at City Fitness, and you're still doing it. I've just got back into it. I am sore, but I'm just going to keep going because it's so good. In the last year with your gym workouts, I feel like you've really amped them up. You've been doing a lot more challenges, and I think one of your challenges is to do the iron
Māori, yes.
Yes. Yeah. Do you want to talk about more? Because look, you don't just go to the gym and go on the treadmill. You have really built yourself, and that feels super amazing being able to do that. The challenge is, let's just talk about that. How does the gym help you mentally and physically, and what is your end game with that?
I don't know if there is an end game.
No.
But I started going to the gym because my son Cassius, he's 10, going to be 11, and he's in a wheelchair.
Yeah.
So initially I started going to the gym because I was like, look, he's going to get heavy and I need to get strong.
Mm.
So, you know, I'm lifting him out of his bed and into his wheelchair and onto the floor and stuff. And I didn't want to feel like that was going to be a burden for me physically. So
yeah.
I started going to the gym probably 4 years ago now, and the aim was to build muscle. But you're right, in the last year or so, I've actually made a switch, and I've said to myself, like, hey, this can be for that reason, but it can also be for me.
Yeah.
Like, because I'm strong.
Yeah.
I kind of made a flip in my head, like, actually, I want to see how strong I can get for myself. And that's a massive thing, you know. Even these challenges, I've said, some people have said, oh, what you're doing with the kids and that is really cool. And I've said, unapologetically, this is for me. Mm-hmm. This is for me. Going to the gym is for me to see how strong I can be.
Yeah.
Because I want my kids to grow up and be able to do things for themselves. I don't want them to constantly be thinking of, you know, how is this going to benefit someone else? And that's been a space of growth as well.
Mm.
But the gym for me, I get up at 4:30 and go, and I love it. I've built a really good community. It's a good environment to be in.
It really is, because you all got the same intent, is to be stronger and healthier mentally and physically. And one of the ones I want to talk about too is the swimming lessons, because that wasn't just a one-off, like you didn't just go once. You're still going. What's that look like for you? Because you could swim before you went, right?
No, I learnt from scratch.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, let's talk about that, because that's really scary.
Yeah, look, one of the challenges is to complete Iron Māori. So I'd been talking about it. The running, I feel pretty confident with that. The biking, confident with that. But swimming, I was kind of putting it off, procrastinating, because it was scary.
Yeah.
I was scared. And then at the gym, one of the guys said, look, they've got an open swim class that you can go to on a Tuesday night. And he was really lovely. He kept checking in. He was like, have you gone yet?
Yeah.
No, I'm going to. And then one night I just said, if you don't go tonight, you'll probably never go and you're running out of time to learn. And
I
didn't swim. I didn't know how to swim. So I remember making that video in the car, like psyching myself out, trying to say, just go through the doors. And I walked through the doors, and the teacher, Richard Swallow, he's amazing. And he said, you know, jump in and show me what you can do. Round. And he kind of like was like, oh, okay, yep, we're starting at the beginning. Here's a flutter board, here's slippers. But I've been consistent. I've only missed one class due to sickness.
Yep.
So I went last night, and I've come so far. I'm so proud of
myself. You can swim?
I can swim. Like last night I did, 10 lengths, no flippers, just really working on my
timing. No way. It's
cool, and that's what I mean. It's intentional. Like, I believe that I can do it. I just need to practice and go.
Yeah.
Yep.
If you can dream it, you can be it. This is, unless your dreams are way out the gate, then you can't. But also that's, and being in the water every day, or not every day, it's something really nice about being in the water as well, very grounding. Even if it is in a pool, there's something really cool about being in the water and doing stuff. I used to do that as well. Not the swimming lessons, just walk up and down the pool, and I loved it. So that's going to be part of the Iron Māori that you're going to be doing in the swimming. So you can do all the cycling and the running. Is there only those three things?
And I was just going to say, I don't know. I hope it clicks one day, because at the moment there's so many elements to swimming that my brain is going 100 miles an hour. So I can't wait until I'm relaxed in the pool, like you were saying.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's a 1 kilometre swim in the ocean.
So, yeah, that's quite full on, eh?
Yeah, and I've heard it's quite dramatic, the start, because everyone's trying to get we did something in the pool actually where we were in one lane, so a small confined space, and we all went one after the other, and it's scary swimming with people all around you and the noise
is
loud, but I'll be right. I'll find a little space on the edge. So it's a 1K swim, 50K bike.
Yeah.
So this morning I've been practicing just at the gym. I'll do 30Ks, just building myself up. And my amazing workmate, Melissa, she's lent me her bike.
Yeah.
Triathlons are expensive, guys.
Yeah, they are. I hear this. Yeah.
And then it's a 10K run.
Yeah.
And then you get the medal.
Yeah, that's the thing though. And the whole achievement and just the feeling of doing that, that's going to be amazing. And you get that because you must get such a satisfying feeling every time you complete a challenge. It's just like, I did that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I absolutely love that.
Honestly, when I get my little highlighter and I get to cross it off.
Yeah.
It's good. But actually taking the time to reflect on, well, how did I enjoy that? Am I enjoying swimming? Do I want to be a swimmer? Because again, it's that discovering my new identity.
Yeah.
I am now as a 35-year-old single woman.
Yeah. And what are you, what have you find that you are learning a lot more stuff about yourself that you didn't realize that you had lost in your time being the mum and being the partner, are there things about yourself that you are discovering?
100%.
Oh, nice.
100%. I am discovering, you know, that if I set my mind to something, that I'll complete it.
Yeah.
I have like a high belief in myself, and that's a beautiful thing. But you know, visiting a museum.
Yeah.
Like, I actually have also discovered things that aren't so positive, you know, that I get quite anxious in the quiet.
Yeah.
That I don't know how to sit still. Like, in the museum, I discovered that because I'm just there by myself and I'm looking at the picture and, you know, I'm looking around and I'm like, is it supposed to do something? So just learning that I actually really struggle to relax.
And
I do struggle to go into new places by myself. But it's also a beautiful thing because I'm like, well, here's a space where I can grow.
Yeah.
So keep going, because I've also learned that, you know, you don't explode.
Yeah, that's
nothing
the bad
thing. Happens.
No, that's so right. Anxious.
Yeah.
It's amazing what can go on in our head. Now, I want to know, one of the challenges you did, you went in fancy dress and it was a Squid Game. Did you feel more confident doing that with the mask on and people not really knowing who you were?
I'm kind of a goofball anyway. And so I was at my course with the most beautiful people, like, have helped me on my journey.
Yeah.
And I sort of woke up in the costume and they're like, oh, typical Courtney.
Yeah.
And then I was like, so I'm going to go to the mall with you guys. Like,
yeah.
And they're like, okay. You know, like, you kind of think, are you guys going to walk in with me? And they're like, absolutely. We're not going to, like, That's the marker for beautiful relationships, I think, when you are accepted fully as who you are unapologetically.
Yeah.
And they'll just be like, sweet, we're doing this today and we're doing it with you.
Yeah, so knowing you are held by a crew like that is really important. So that's what I'm going to ask. What is this class? What are you guys studying?
We are studying our Bachelor of Bicultural Social Work degree.
Oh, wow.
So we're in our second year.
Oh, far out.
Some beautiful women and Tane and Hales in the group.
Yeah.
And we are a special group.
Like,
I'm not just saying that. Our kai ako stick too, you know, because we stick together. We've learned throughout this process. There's been breakups, you know, there's been a couple of breakups and stuff within the rōpū. There's been grief, there's been loss, and we've just held each other. And I think starting my study with this group of people has really shown me what I want in my life moving forward from people. You know, it's made me realize that's a healthy relationship. That's what love looks like, you know, and that's the kind of people that I want to be around, surround myself with.
And that is the way to be. I can definitely vouch for that. But the Bachelor of Bicultural
Social Work.
Okay, so what will that be able to lead you into in the future?
I could be a registered social worker.
And that'd be good.
The scope of social work is so large. You know, you can work in youth justice, you can work at Oranga Tamariki if you wanted to, or you can go into community-based social work, you can work with refugees, police, you know, like
there's
so many different elements to it.
Yeah.
In schools with kids.
That'd be good, yeah. What is your idea in the future once? Do you have an idea where you want to work?
I mean, I know I want to work with people.
Yeah.
That's kind of why I'm doing the social work degree, but I'm not sure yet.
No, that's cool.
I love the space that I'm in and it changes and grows, but I actually think working with women and alongside women. Doing empowerment, workshops and skills and, something like that.
I think it's important. And I think that you have a lot to bring to other women to show that what they can get through and that within so many aspects of your life. Like, you know, you could have easily just gone, no, I'm not doing any of this. I'm staying at home now. I'm done. But you haven't. You've gone, right, I've got out of a situation and what I'm going to do with it is going to make me who I am and realize who I am, because it is all about you rebuilding yourself and rebuilding your confidence and all that sort of thing. It really is. And you've got 3 beautiful children who are watching you, right? And we had I think our first show that we did together was about, we talked about Cassius. It was the first or second. It has been 3 shows. Anyway, it has been, and I know that you've got a beautiful teenage daughter who just yeah, the way you smile when you talk about her is amazing. And then there's Asher, who does get into the videos. And gosh, he's a character, eh? I mean, he's a lot like his mum. But what? How is Cassius doing?
Cassius, he's doing good.
Yeah.
You know, he's cruisy.
Yeah.
As long as he's fed and warm and he's loved. I mean, he goes to the best school, Lakeview School. He's got the best teacher aides, Faith.
Faith.
He's happy. And look, the kids are happy when I'm happy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. And that is so true. And you're only as happy as your happiest child, I believe, as a parent as well. And that can be really hard sometimes if you do have a child that isn't that happy. And I love that Lakeview school holds this space for him, and he has such an amazing teacher's aide, because he'll just be able to stay at that school, or will he move on?
Well, he is a senior.
Yeah.
So he's got one more
year. Yeah,
and
true.
And then it'll just be making relationships with the team at Wairarapa College.
Oh, so yeah, they've got a lovely one.
Special unit there with Amanda, Kawana and that. And he actually does holiday program with them.
So, oh, does he?
Kind of knows them. He's building a relationship. But
and that's really important. I remember when I worked on the trains that they'd come on train trips to, and I used to love it. Every human is interesting to me, and we have some extra special humans, and I just find them even more interesting. And you find ways to communicate and understand, and you would have definitely, I mean, in the last 11 years with Cassius, learnt ways to communicate, to be and to know what his wants and needs are, which is an amazing thing. But also having, being able to take him places and drop him off at school and know that he's getting the same kind of love wrapped around him as well is really important, eh?
Yeah, it's
really
important.
Yeah. I want to ask, what is it that made you want to be a social worker again? It's to help.
Yeah, it's kind of just happened that way.
Yeah.
You know, I was a music teacher, teaching kids music in schools and
things like
that, traveling around to the different areas and schools.
Yeah.
And then Cassius needed to go into school, so I was like, right, I'll finish that job and then I'll be his teacher aide for a year and sort of work alongside people, training them so that they felt comfortable, because it is, he's nonverbal and
he has
high needs. So it's learning him so that you can best support him. And then Faith came on board and I was like, right, he's in good hands.
Yeah.
And then I moved back into working with youth at Reap House.
Oh, yeah.
The youth to work, and they had Ngāpu Manawa Tupuna, which was license to work skills for people or young people who have just left school or, you know, wanting to engage in work. And then from there, I got scooped up by Rangitāne.
Yeah.
And have been under their korowai ever since, working with youth, doing youth mentoring.
So, yes, yes.
Yeah.
And let's go back to the music, though. Now, it's the music. So you were in the band doing some hama. I can't remember the name of the
band. Yes, CC's House, yeah.
That's right. Yeah, absolutely. Have you done much music since then?
Look, honestly, I haven't.
Yeah.
Navigating the spaces that I have in the last couple of years, because it was something that I was so deeply passionate about.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's what I mean, going through something as difficult as I have been, I just lost my passion and spark. And I just felt that I didn't have the time or space for it, and the band had broken up, and it just felt like my whole life was falling apart.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'd sort of packed everything away, and then I've been quietly unpacking and rebuilding. And I've just actually left my job at Rangitāne so that I have more space and time to do challenges now.
Yeah. No, that's actually, do you.
Do me, yeah.
Yeah.
Focus on me for a bit.
Yeah.
Focus on my study, because even that's full time. Like, I had too much on my plate and stuff was starting to fall off. And I've unpacked my music gear.
That's brilliant.
And I've set it up.
Yeah.
And I have started to sing again.
Oh, thank goodness.
I have told myself that this summer coming up, because summer is gig season.
Yeah.
I'm going to find somewhere and I'm going to say, hey, look, I'm going to come do like an hour slot here. Oh, I'm just inviting myself. God.
My mind just started thinking over going, where can she go? Where can she go? But there's, yeah. that's the really cool thing about the Wairarapa and New Zealand is there always is a spot to go and sing and people want to listen and hear. Because I think, personally myself, music is so important in the healing game, eh? Like, it's absolutely not a game, Camille, but yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I can barely still talk about it because I'm so traumatized from the experience. But yesterday, Olivia Dean tickets went on sale.
Yeah.
Pre-sale. And my friend and I, Jasmine, she's like, my bestie, we've already manifested. We'd told people we were going.
Yeah.
That's how badly we wanted tickets. And then we're like waiting for them to clock over and get in the queue. And then we jump in a queue and I'm 13,000 in the queue and she's 18,000. Oh. It was the most stressful time of my life. And I'm trying to buy the tickets and then I'm trying to make the payment. And it was like, payment declined. And I was like, no. And then it booted us out. And I'm like, what is
happening?
But then I checked my bank because I was like, the money was in
there. Yeah.
And it had gone out. And we had got the ticket.
Oh, thank goodness.
And I mean, Olivia Dean, she's been the soundtrack to my separation. Like, I ordered her record from overseas.
Yeah.
And, you know, we had to sell our house and stuff, our family house when we separated. And I moved into a house flatting and my mum was saying, things are going to get better. And so I had her record sitting there and I didn't listen to it until the first night that I was in the new house.
Cause
it was like a new beginning thing.
Yeah.
Turned it on and she's just, I had to go. Absolutely had to go.
Yeah. I understand that. That's why I'm going to see System of a Down.
Yeah.
Because they're being a huge part of my life as well. And the, you know, fucking belting out those ballads. Did I just say the F word? Anyway, it suited. Yeah. And cause you are a singer and you posted a video of you dancing as well. And I think movement, get up and move, eh? And just, yes. Feel things as well. You're shaking shite off. You're just, you know, it's so important.
Yes, absolutely. And even that, like a space of vulnerability to go and move because it's been such an emotional time.
Yeah.
And I remember reading somewhere, like emotions are energy in motion. And so I was like, where do I put this energy in a space that's healthy?
Yeah.
Because, you know, you can go down the route of, you know, numbing and alcohol and drugs and things.
Oh, yeah.
You can put your energy into that and it'll take it.
I was like,
I'm going to put my energy into these challenges and into dance and into music and into song and writing and things that I haven't done before. And so the dance class with Charlotte was an amazing experience. And there was actually another mother there who had seen my videos and she's like, this is on my list.
Yeah.
And that was like a big moment for me. So even that one really touched me because I was like, hey, I actually might be like having a positive influence on other people's lives.
No, you absolutely are, Courtney. You absolutely are. I wouldn't have gone and made a Turkish lamp by myself and met other women, you know, and really strong women who are really cool. And the thing is, you are inspiring people. This is something. You are doing something really, really cool. And the fact that your kids get to see their mama do this as well, your fellow students on your course, everything, work, they get to see you do this. And you are putting yourself in a really vulnerable spot when you put it out there. And I can imagine what it would have been like the first time you did to make yourself accountable doing that video, you know. It's so cool to see someone keep following through because it's important for other women and men to see that you can heal and become whole and rebuild after separations and relationships. They're never going to be nice. Well, there might be someone who has a nice one, but they're never nice. And ugly feelings do come up and it's how we deal with them, isn't it?
It definitely is. And I've had some really beautiful messages from people who, you know, don't comment on the actual videos for whatever reason. I've had some beautiful comments too.
Yeah.
But there are a lot of women out there who are in relationships, leaving relationships, finding themselves after relationships, sort of like, well, I'm supposed to be on this healing journey, but I actually don't know what to do.
Yeah.
And them reaching out has really made me feel like I need to keep this going.
Yeah.
I need to keep putting this out there because even if it inspires one other person to say, hey, I'm going to try that rock climbing class. And I actually had a message from someone who said, I went rock climbing because I saw your challenges.
Oh my God.
And this is on my list. And they sent me pictures. And I was like, that's fantastic. Like, good on you. You know, send me the updates. Keep me accountable too.
Yeah.
It keeps me going because it's hard.
Yeah.
You know, the making the videos and putting them up. And I get nervous. Like, oh, what if someone like, you know, what if someone laughs or judges me or thinks I'm a goof? But I also,
who cares?
Part of this is accepting myself.
Yeah.
Unapologetically, as I've said.
Yeah.
And I do. So when I put the videos up, it's from such a place of love. And I'm really fortunate that I've received love back from so many people. Yeah.
Taking words from a post that you did, I think it was, you really do have a village behind you. You really are held in through this. And a lot of the times, a lot of people can feel quite lonely. And it just proves a lot. Actually, it proves a lot. That's what I want to say. Right. I want to know, is there aside from the iron moldy, which I could believe would be pretty fricking daunting, is there something on your list you really are putting off at all? Is one that you think, oh no.
Skydiving.
Oh yeah.
Because I was gonna go skydiving and I'd been in touch with the man.
Yeah.
And then it was those 2 weekends, I think back in June, where the weather was just atrocious and they were only here for the month June.
Oh.
So I think mentally for me, I was like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
At the same time, because when I think of skydiving, my stomach just goes to places.
Right. Yeah.
So that's terrifying. And then there's someone here, like there's do a backflip on a tramp or do an ollie on a skateboard.
Yeah.
But I'm like, I can't injure myself.
No.
Because I've got to do iron moldy, high rocks and deadly dozen. So I'm trying to be quite, plan it out so that it all works in. Because I just remember thinking, oh my gosh, I've already got a lot on my plate and now I've given myself 150 to-do list.
Yeah.
But actually they all, when you're on the right path, things fall into place.
Yes.
And
they
so
do.
They all of the events are on different weekends and they fit.
Yeah.
And I'm chipping away at some of them. Some of them everyone should do. You know, like I have a big jar because of this list. I have a big jar because it says, write 100 reasons you're proud of yourself.
Oh, my goodness.
And write 100 things that you're grateful for. And so in this jar, I've got a set of green post-it notes things and then pink ones.
Yeah.
And then every night, because the jar is there, I'll see it and it'll make me reflect, you know, like, why am I proud of myself?
It's good.
And I just put them in the jar.
Yeah.
And at the end, because the last thing on the list is, so on the 1st of June 2027, which it's been officially 2 years
since
my separation, I'm going to have a healing party. So I'm going to bring out my big jar.
Yeah.
And I'm going to pull out and read a couple of the things from it. So,
oh, that will be quite emotional. I have a feeling it will be.
I think it'll be all of the energy.
Yeah.
All
I know. Yeah. Because, you know, when things like that happen, a lot of people, you don't think you're going to get through it, but look at you getting through it.
It's day by day.
Yeah.
Like my mum, she said, and she's been such a supporter of me, but she said, you know, it does get easier. And it does. And there have been really dark days. Like, I'm not going to romanticize it.
Mm.
It's been difficult, especially when you've been with someone, you know, codependent on someone else to fulfill you. And that's even in the name. Like, I remember getting quite frustrated because we use this language like, oh, my other half.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
We talk about, you know, like a man and a woman needing to come together to make the complete circle.
Yeah.
And I was actually at my course and I was thinking, that doesn't sit right with me.
No.
Like, there's something that really grates me about this concept of needing another half or, you know, not being complete until you're united with someone. And then I looked at the wall. And on the wall, there was a, the infinity symbol.
Yes, yeah.
And it's 2 circles. And I was like, that to me is what love is. Two holes coming together and joining. Like, for me, I want to be healed or complete or 100% capable in myself and by myself before I next meet someone else.
Yeah.
And then we would join and we would make that infinity symbol together because, you know, it's fair for me that I can bring that to the table and that's the only type of love that I will accept from now on. And so, you know, part of the journey is not rushing into a relationship where I know that I still have work on my life. You know, there's still parts of me that need work. And I'm going to therapy too to address them because I know that I wasn't completely, you know, I didn't behave in ways that I'm proud of throughout the experience because I was young and I'm still growing and I'm still learning. But I think once I finish all of these things and I take the time to really get to know myself, that's going to be the whole person that I can bring to a new relationship. So,
oh, it's an amazing journey. It really is an amazing journey, and that a journey of self-discovery. And you've become a hell of a lot self-aware, and there are things that you used to accept in the past. You will not accept. You are setting the bar really high for yourself, and that's a good thing. It's a really good thing. I've been there, done that, and there's things I just won't accept in life anymore because I know how much I'm worth it and I know how much other people are worth it as well. And that's something I do go on about, is just knowing your self-worth.
Yes. Absolutely. And just knowing what you like and what you don't like.
Yeah.
And, you know, what you want for the rest of your life and what you don't. And, you know, being in healthy relationships, you should be able to say, you know, to them, like, this relationship doesn't serve me anymore. This is not the environment or the type of love that I want. And you should be able to park it and leave it there and have that respected. And so now I'm so grateful that the people that I have in my life and surrounding me and stuff, they respect that. You know, if I say to them, I need some space, or you know, if I don't reply, they don't, you know, cast judgment.
Yeah, exactly.
Like my friends at course, they're like, oh, that's Court. You know, that's her.
And yeah.
That is who I am and who I'm
leaning stand into. Stand in that mana. Yeah, lean into it and stand in it. Courtney, I absolutely love talking to you, and I love watching your journey and hearing your journey. And I'm so grateful for you coming and sharing it with me in this platform and as one of your challenges as well, because this is what this show is about. It's talking about everyday people, community, and their journeys. So we'll do this again. Let's give it about a year. No, when you're finished, let's do a show. That'll be so good. And you can like talk about some of the challenges and stuff.
That'll be a good way to wrap it up.
We'll get some footage of the skydiving. How no would I do that? You're brave. But Courtney, thank you so much for coming in and being vulnerable and so open with sharing your journey. I love this. I get goosebumps and stuff when I hear people talk. And we will do this again soon.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Camille. And now there's only 119 challenges to go after today.
Oh, my goodness.
So, yeah.
I'm far out.
But, yeah, I'd love to come back. And maybe you can join me for one of the challenges. Maybe not the skydiving.
Yeah.
I'm sure we can find something on the list.
Let's do that. Okay, everybody, I've just been talking with Courtney Brown about my healing to whole journey. Thank you so much for joining us today. Everyone who's ever watching or listening and can catch up later, you have been listening to Camille on her show, Everyday People, here at 92.7 Arrow FM. See you guys.